about Jesus, how he set you free, gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. Come on, you guys know this song.
Tell somebody about Jesus, how he set you free, gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
Come on and sing it out.
Tell somebody about Jesus, how he set you free, gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
Come on, turn to your neighbor and just say how good God is. Come on, just give God praise right now. Come on, he's been good to me. Pastor Redner, he's been so good to me, man. Sing this out with me.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Come on, let me hear you sing it.
Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
Come on, sing, there is power.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Because of that power, I got victory. Sing it.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Come on and sing. Peace is mine. Peace.
Peace is mine. Peace is mine. Peace today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Peace today is mine. Tell somebody about Jesus, how he set you free, gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus.
Wonder-working
power in the blood of the Lamb.
everything in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Power, wonder-working power in the precious. I sing victory is mine. Let him hear it. Victory is mine. Y'all better shout this out. Come on, you got victory, right? See, y'all just declare war. And now you're telling them that victory is yours because we don't have to fight. See, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in the heavenly. And victory is mine.
Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
You better tell Satan, get out your finances. Tell Satan, get out of your blood. Because I have the blood of Jesus. And victory is mine. Now tell somebody about that blood.
Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of God.
Y'all better shout it out. Shout it out. Shout it out. Shout it out. Come on, shout it out. Come on, give God a shout. Give God an overwhelming shout. Give God a shout that will stand him up and look at your problems. Come on, give God a shout.
Trust that you are who you say you are. And if you moved once, you'll move again, and you'll do it in a new way, and then you'll move again, and you'll do it in a new way. Jesus, our expectation of you showing up is high right now. Jesus, we expect great things from you.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faith.
I'm in your head.
and show him how we feel.
He loves us.
He loves us
completely.
Completely.
It brings pleasure.
It brings pleasure to his heart.
Specifically this morning, if you have, I think it's called atrophy in your feet, if you'll just come on up front, I want to pray with you real quickly. Come right out of your chair. I believe God's going to heal some of you in that portion of your body. I believe it has to do with diabetes. Is that true? Yes? Is there anybody this morning that needs prayer? Move right out of your chair. You need it right here. Anybody else this morning? Hallelujah. Well, honey, I guess you're the one. Hallelujah.
I will sing
from the
overflow of love.
Amen. It's really easy. We're just going to lay hands on you. God's going to heal you. Let me tell you what I'm believing for. Not only is going to take that out of your feet, but he's going to heal the cough.
Lifting high.
Amen.
My response to who he is in my I will sing
my heart.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lifted high, my response to who he is in my life.
See, who we allow him to be in our life makes all the difference in the world. Many people just go to church and it's a religious experience. But when you draw from the presence of the Holy Spirit, when you draw from that anointing, God will touch you. Man, we've known it to be so true. Scripturally, it's so powerful. Do you know that everyone who came for healing, I mean, came to Jesus. Even the disciples tried to push him away, but Jesus healed them. And I want you to know there's got to be an unction in your gumption. Turn to someone and say, unction in your gumption. You can't just allow church to be church for you. This is where you come and you say, God, I'm going to draw from your presence. I'm going to draw from your power. Remember, if you're in the house and you're not feeling anything, you're just like disconnected. You're in the audience, per se. That means you're not participating. And sometimes you gotta make something happen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You know, you gotta step out. You gotta put yourself in a position of receiving. Not just settling for, well, I went to church today. Listen, I'm not interested in just going to church today. I want to experience God. God's real. God's alive. God is in this place. God loves you. And he desires to touch your life. But every time you look in the scripture, it has to do with drawing. Everyone who went to Jesus got their healing. Everyone who went to Jesus got delivered. Many watched, many got nothing. There's only one that Jesus went to specifically, and he went to that one at the pool of Bethesda. That man wasn't asking for anything. But Jesus went to him and raised him up. All the rest of them were somebody saying, I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. I can't leave until I get what I've come for. And the Bible says that Jesus healed them all. That's his heart. That's God's heart. God's heart is to make sure every one of you are whole people. Not just whole in your spirit where you're going to heaven. Not just whole in your mind. You're not out of your mind. Tell somebody, don't be out of your mind. But also whole in your heart, no broken heart, and whole in your body. God wants you to be a whole person. Because that's when we're able to minister the most powerfully. So I challenge you to lay hold of Jesus like you've never laid hold of him before. And say, God, I am not leaving till I get what I've come for. A hungering and you're hunkering. Got a lot of these ones this morning, huh? Okie dokie. Praise the Lord. Why don't you say to 5-6 folks, I'm so glad that I got Jesus in my life. Meet 5 or 6 folks you don't know and say, I'm so glad I got Jesus in my life. Go find somebody you don't know this morning. Shake their hands and say, I'm so glad I got Jesus in my life. I'm so glad I got Jesus in my life. I'm so glad you have Jesus in your life right there watching my live stream. Come on now. 1, 2, 3. If you see somebody sitting alone, why don't you grab them and drag them to your seat and say, hey, why don't you sit with me this morning? Don't sit alone. Let nobody sit alone. Just killed myself.
Okay, that's enough talking, enough mingling. Go ahead and have a seat now. Okay? Thank you.
What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Hey guys, every week behind those walls right there, hundreds of kids come to learn about God. And we just want to invite you to come and join us, teach your children about Jesus, either on Sunday morning with His kids or on Wednesday night with Uproar Kids. If you would like more information on how you can get involved, you can email me at aaron@histabernacle.com.
Hey guys, listen, we save souls here, but we also save lives. So we want to let you know about the next blood drive that will be held by the Red Cross right here at His Tabernacle, August 10th from 2 until 6 p.m. You can email Pastor Chad at pastorchad@histabernacle.com, or you can arrive and show up and give your blood. Again, August 10th from 2 to 6 p.m. right here.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? Come on, give your king a shout. Give your king a shout. We slayed some demons this morning in prayer and in worship and in praise, and we are excited that we can stand here and say we are victorious. So come on, give your king a shout one more time for being a victorious church. Amen, amen. Welcome so much to our 9 a.m. service. If this is your first time attending our service here, can I just see you just awkwardly raise your hand like this? This is your first time attending our service. I don't see any hands raised. Right away. Awesome. Thank you. Come on, let's get off our first time attendee. Amazing. We have a gift packet that's coming for you right now. You will find some information about our church inside there. And then afterwards, we have a really big tent outside. We'd love to meet you out there and get to know you a little bit more. If you were too shy to raise your hand, that's okay. We can still meet you outside of the tent, and we'd love to meet you. So thank you so much for being our first-time attender, and we can't wait to see you back next week. And with that, let's welcome our live stream family. Thank you guys so much for tuning in every single week. You guys are family. You guys are as much a part of us here as you are online. So thank you for your faithfulness. So who's excited about small groups? Come on. Raise your hand if you're a part of a small group. Now, who's part of the best small group? Well, I think we have a picture of the best small group. Oh, that, yeah. That looks like my group. Oh. Yeah. We like to procreate in our small group, as you guys can tell. It's biblical. Don't hate on us. But we love to live life together, either be my group or Robin's quote-unquote best group or anybody else's group. Every group is amazing because we get together for one reason. We want to live life together. We are meeting almost every single week, and nobody feels alone. Nobody feels bored. In this huge church, you don't feel out of place because we break it down to a small group. So if you want to get plugged in, I need you to go find a small group leader. Leaders, raise your hands. So look around. If you're not part of a group, go and find them. Go out to that tent. Go to the hub. Chase down one of the pastors. Say, hey, I need to. Not I want to. I need to get plugged into a small group. All right? So who's going to get plugged into a small group this week? This week. Oh, nobody is. Well, because you're all in small groups already, right? Awesome. So who's going to meet this week with their small group? Awesome. We cannot wait for the testimonies. Please flood social media with your pictures and let us know how much fun you guys are having. Amen. We also have classes here called Next Steps. So on this side of the building, Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we have a class that's called Family and Parenting. You don't have to be a parent or to have a family to attend this class. It is still phenomenal training, so you do not want to miss that. We also have Rock Solid Faith Tuesday nights, Wednesday mornings, and Thursday evenings. There is so much going on, you cannot walk away and say, I did not know. So remember, get to class and join the group, and let's live life with you. Amen. Let's bring up Pastor Spencer.
Praise the Lord. Yesterday was just awesome. We did another outreach down in the city. 16 people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ yesterday. Isn't that? Come on, you can give God a better praise than that. 16 souls. Hallelujah. 19 people gave their hearts to Jesus last Sunday. Last Sunday, 19 people gave their hearts to the Lord. This Saturday, 16. And I'm believing that God is going to, if you're in this room, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we don't have a religion for you. We got a God who loves you. He wants you to know Him and have your sins washed away. Today can be an awesome day for your life. Amen. We're getting ready to receive the offering, but before that, we want to make sure that you hear testimonies. How many of you know that we all kind of go through the same junk every once in a while? Anybody else out there? How many of you are glad when you found out somebody went through the same junk you did? How many of you feel all by yourself in your own junk? Amen. You know, the fact is that we all go through the same struggles. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or whether somebody who's just walked in off the street. Everybody goes through the same struggles. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. But it's not the problem that's the problem. Say it out loud with me. My problem is not my problem. It's what I do with my problem. How many of you have ever had a financial struggle? Turn to someone and say, my problem is not my problem. It's what I do with my problem. So I'd like this young couple to give. They're getting married in how many days now? In 6 days, they're getting married.
Who's talking?
How y'all doing? Y'all doing well? Cool. So as you know, we got engaged last November, and you know, the blessings were just coming in. Like, people were like, oh, I want to pay for this. Oh, I want to pay for that. But then we got to, like, 4 to 5 months down, and everything stopped. You know, I lost my job. She was still in college, so she really didn't have a job. And we were just like, I don't know how, you know, we were going to pay for this wedding. But then the samples took me out to lunch. It was just like, yo, if you pray for it, God will give it to you. All right? And at this moment, we were, like, praying, like, God, you know, finally got jobs again, and we wanted to bless God. Who just wants to bless God? Come on, y'all. So we wanted to bless God, and we were like, okay, so we're going to give this amount. And Lord God, we know, because your word says it, that you'll give it back, and 100-fold. So we were like, we needed $2,200. And all in a week, we went over our small group, and they blessed us with $100. And then we went to go see her parents on a Wednesday, and they blessed us with $2,000. And then I did a job for Miss Carla watching her dogs, and she blessed us with $100. And there's $2,200 right there. So God is so faithful. And then we got great jobs, and like, we've just been getting an overflow and an overabundance. So, yeah.
Sorry. I just want to say something real quick. We stopped tithing. I want to point that out, because we were going through such a financial hardship that we completely stopped. We were like, we need all of our money for bills. We don't have extra money to tithe. We can't. And we just kept telling ourselves, we can't do this. But then one Sunday, after we talked to the samples, and we were just like, no, that's not what God's word says. He says if we tithe, he will reward those, right? He'll give us back, right? Because it's not our money to begin with. So we sowed and we tithed, and we immediately the next day got blessings. The next day got an apartment that we were looking for, the exact thing. So if you tithe, he will answer. Even if you don't think you can, he says you can. Amen. So you can.
Amen. Thank you so much. You got something else to say?
Peace. Amen. Peace. Amen.
We want to challenge you to be tithers in the house. You know, a lot of people, they always say this, well, you know, that church is all about money. But you know, I don't think you get it. If you're saying that, I know you don't get it. Because you don't understand God's kingdom. God's kingdom is so very powerful and so very simple. And he says, listen, you cannot outgive me. And whatever you have and what we have is not ours. Turn to someone and say, I own nothing. What does that mean? That means that we are stewards of everything that God has given us. And he's asked us, he said, I want you to give 10% back. I'm going to allow you to spend the other 90%, but I want you to give me the 10% back to declare that I am your God and I am your source. You know, some of you have never tithed. And I want to challenge you today to step out on nothing to land on something. You will see, just like they did, that God is always faithful. I've told this story a few times, and I'm going to be very quick. My wife and I, when I was on the road as an evangelist, it was November of 1995. Three children. Corinne was just a few months old. And I was out of diapers. I was out of milk. I just poured the last milk. We had just poured the last milk into the what do they call those things? The sucky things. Bottles, thank you. Listen, you can laugh all you want. I'm glad I don't remember. And so all of a sudden, we had nothing left and had to make a decision. Will I tithe or will I feed my kid? Now, I don't know if you've ever been there before, but there's a struggle. But I know God, and I know God's word, and I know God can't lie. And so we tithed. We had nothing left. And we prayed, God, you said you'd open the windows of heaven, you'd rebuke the devourer. God, you're faithful. A man knocked on our door. His name is Joe. Knocked on our door, two bags of groceries. He says, I wasn't sure what size diapers your kids lived in. So he said, lived in, amen. I'm not sure what size diapers your kids lived in. So I brought you more than one. He brought all the right ones. He brought gallons, 2 gallons of milk, I believe it was. And he said, and Pastor, I bought you a steak. I hope you don't mind. Listen, God is always faithful. When you tithe, you position God. When you don't tithe, then you dispose of God in that position. And I want to challenge you to be a tither today. It will change your life. I mean that. See, that's why people give every week. When they get it, it's like, how can I not give? I liked what somebody said. I can't afford not to tithe. You see, when you understand that principle, others who don't tithe, they don't get it. It's just like, well, giving money to the church again. Nope. I'm sorry. When you understand tithing, you're giving it all to the King. Can I hear an amen? And when God is on your side in your finances, you can't fail. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Praise the Lord. We're going to actually, if you'll all stand to your feet, if you're a guest this morning in the house, we actually bring our offerings to the Lord. And what I would challenge is this, is I'm challenging everybody in the house. Next week, we're going to receive a special offering just for the church. We take up seed offering all the time. I'm sorry. What's that? We take up seed offering all the time for special guests. But let's take care of the house next week. Amen. We got some things we just want to take care of and make sure things are taken care of. So why don't you ask God, not this week, but next week, what he'll have you sow above your tithe into this house, your church, where you seat, where you sit, where you drink coffee, where you meet everybody and God ministers to your life. Amen? So ask God what he would have you give next week above your tithe for a seed into this house. Let's make our supernatural declaration. Shout it out loud. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. I said, I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering.
Trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking.
every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war. This means war. This means war. This means war. I got joy in my soul. Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray.
You're watching by live stream.
No matter the attack,
I want to remind you, this is your time to give as well.
This means
make sure you sow and you tithe into the kingdom of God. Next week, make sure you ask
this
the Holy Ghost what you would have to give as well. It's your opportunity to sow into the house that you're receiving from. Wherever you are all over the world, get ready. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you love Jesus this morning? I said, how many of you love Jesus this morning? Somebody said to me, they said, well, Pastor, it sounds like a pep rally at your church. Yeah. Amen. Honestly, it should be a pep rally at the church. Can I hear an amen? We live in a real world that drains people, and we need to get happy in the house of God. Leave here full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Shout, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We are so blessed this morning to have Pastor Rhonda Spencer preach the Word of God. Well, I'm expecting a little bit louder than that. We are excited to hear Pastor Rhonda Spencer preach the Word of God. Amen. Many of you don't know the books that God has given her and she's written literally are going all over the world. Right now, she's going to be back in South Africa at the end of August. She's booked all the way through December. She could have more bookings, and I keep telling her no. Bishop actually is meeting with, which station? With Daystar to get her on Daystar. And so this is where we're watching how God is starting to open opportunities for my wife and how God's going to use her literally all over the world with a message he's placed on her spirit. And you can just call me Dave. If you don't know who Dave is, that's Joyce Meyer's husband. Just call me Dave. But I'm excited. My wife is just a powerful woman of God. Let's all stand, give the Lord a blessing for Pastor Rhonda Spencer.
Thank you so much. So this morning, before I start, I want to organize. And I want to start by letting you know that this message was for me first. And I didn't prepare this message this morning. And I have to preface this with this statement because offense is so strong. The spirit of offense is so strong that it's so easy for people to be offended. This was written over 2 years ago, okay? So as you're hearing this and think I'm talking about you in this current situation, this was written for me over 2 years ago. And so I wrote the book because it really was a message that God saved my life with. You know, I wasn't upset with God when he brought this to my attention. I mean, it was important that he brought it to my attention before I lived the rest of my life unhappy and miserable and broken and, you know, ended up coming before him, maybe, I don't know. But I was happy that he brought this to me. So today, I want that to be your response. Not offense. I want you to be happy that God is bringing this to you now so you can live out the rest of your days with joy and peace and love, because that's what he desires for you. And so we have some materials. Today's message is, I don't have enough time. I don't even have enough time to share this with you. There is so much more to this message, and it's in these books, and there's actually a CD series with 8 sessions on it, 8 class sessions that normally sells for $75 by itself. But today I'm making this available at the end of the service for today only. This will not be any other time. You can't do a rain check, nothing. This is just today only because I so desperately want to get this in your hands. And if you get this CD set, start with the last CD, CD number 8. Start with the last one and then go back to the first one. So this whole packet right here with the book, workbook, and CDs will only be $50 today. So please make sure you get this. I just want it in your spirit so that you can live the life that God has for you. Amen. So a statement that Pastor Obi had made is, offense is the only spirit more accepted than the Holy Spirit in the church. And that's a shame, and it shouldn't be. And in this house, that ends. We're calling attention to it. We're putting a light on it, and we're ending that today. We want the only spirit allowed in this house to be the Holy Spirit. Amen. But as mature Christians, we see sin as the big things everybody else does, right? Come on, let's just be honest. I'm being honest and transparent this morning. I know maybe none of you are like this. It's just me. But we see sin as the big things everybody else does, not us. But that's the ploy of the enemy, who's so stealthy. He is out 24/7. And how many of you know with offense? It is 24/7. He is on the job to trip you up 24/7. And he wants to just get you to keep overlooking, justifying, rationalizing, excusing your offense away. All the while, you think you're just fine. It's just their problem. So that's the title of this is, it's not me, they're just wrong. How many of you will be honest and you've been in that spot? You said, it's not me, they're just wrong. Okay, that's the title of today, because that's what the enemy wants you to say. And you're going to church week after week thinking it's all good. And in our minds, we come to church thinking that we're going to worship God. And as the worship is going on, we're so busy being offended, we're not actually worshiping God. And we're not actually receiving from his presence. We couldn't even hear the voice of God because we're too busy being offended with so-and-so for what they did. And the enemy, literally, during worship, have you experienced this before? Bring up every single thing that anybody in the room has ever done to you during worship. And that's how you can go to church week after week after week. And then you feel empty and dry and like the church has failed you. So let's go through some examples of this so I can help you out. Let's say I thought Julie was my friend. She walked right by me and never said hi. What did I ever do to her? How rude. And she calls herself a Christian. Listen to us. Listen, guess what? When that happens, when that thought gets in your head,
I promise every emotion necessary to support that thought is now going to rush in, and you're going to then feel sad. You didn't feel sad a second ago, but you came to church, and now you felt sad, and you're starting to think, oh, it's church. This is how the enemy gets mature Christians. I used to wonder how people could go to church for 20 years, for 10 years, or just even a few years and have awesome encounters with God and then walk away. I was so confused at how people could walk away. But it's this offense thing that happens in our minds and every emotion necessary to support those offenses. How about this one? Oh, that music. It's just awful. If they could just, I can't even sit up in the front. Oh, I can't sit in, I have to sit out in the foyer. Oh, I'm not even gonna go there. Don't they know who he is? He's such a hypocrite. He's one way in church. This is happening while you're worshiping God. Week after week, thinking you're fine because you came to church. They're so two-faced. They act one way in front of everybody else, and they're so different outside of the church. Did you hear what the pastor said? He was talking about me. I know he was. And again, watch. Every emotion necessary to support that offense now shows up inside your spirit, and you're feeling upset that the pastor would say that about you and do that to you. And he didn't even think about you. They're so mean-spirited, I don't want to sit in the same building as them. Did you see what they posted on Facebook? They were talking about me. They're bashing me on Facebook. I'm not ever going to sit here again. All they do is talk, talk, talk. Those teenagers on their phone, up and down, up and down. I can't sit here. I'm going to sit. Oh, as a matter of fact, I can't sit in this church. Why doesn't somebody say something? This is while our worship is going on. Mature Christians in the house of God. This was me sitting up here worshiping, and the enemy bringing every single thought to my mind and then every emotion necessary to support those thoughts. How am I doing so far? That's good? You can relate to some of those statements, and maybe you have your own. Maybe you have your own. You can fill in the blanks with your own, and you know every emotion that has shown up. I've given so much to them. I've done so much for them. Nobody even appreciates me. Maybe you've said that one. It's true. I mean, these thoughts, nobody is excluded. Man, if you want to talk about offense, being a pastor is the easiest place to ever to be offended. You think everybody praises the pastor? I just offended him. Everybody thinks people just praise the pastor? No, actually what you get the most of is criticism, complaining, all sorts of that stuff. So we are not exempt. Nobody is exempt from these thoughts coming in or the emotions showing up to support them. And then we feel empty and dry and like the church is just not cutting it for us anymore. And we blame the church. We can't go to that church anymore. We're just not being fed. We're just not growing. That's what offense does. But really, we're not actually getting to worship, learn, or grow, because 10 years in, we've been having this offense cycle. And we haven't actually been attending church at all. So you know what? We decide it's the church's problem. They're just not feeding me. I can't grow there. I'm going to go somewhere else. And you know what? That will work for a little bit. And
And I can tell you only a very, very little bit. Because as soon as you get offended there, the same emotions are going to show up necessary to support it. And guess what? Once the devil trips you up with this, it gets easier and easier and easier. And this is the spirit that the church accepts, even over the Holy Spirit, is the spirit of offense. Because as the church, we've justified, we've rationalized. It's not me, they're just wrong. But where does that leave us? Offense is hurting us. And that's just the church. I mean, we could go into all the other areas. I don't have time today. Offense is readily available 24/7 to us. It's not something you just get to make a one-time choice in conquering. Like, there's this big offense that's happening. I'm going to conquer it, and I'm going to be... No. Offense is everyday opportunity and choice for you to conquer and win. So seriously, every single day. But let me show you what offense does. Let's just start with the scientific physical part of offense. Dr. Carolyn Leaf has a study on neuroscience. She's a neuroscientist, and she talks about how over 80% of all sickness and disease starts with your thoughts. Now, that's not it's made up in your head. It starts with those negative thoughts. Sickness and disease, literally over 80%, is affected from your thoughts and offenses that start in your thoughts. It breaks down your body. Anxiety, stress, worry, it just breaks down your physical body. So it's damaging your health, your very health. And if that's what it does physically, 80% of all of sickness and disease comes from your thoughts. If that's what it does physically, what does it do spiritually? We can't think that it has no spiritual ramification on us. Let's look at what the Word of God says about what happens with offense. He is very, very specific about offense. And Mark 6, verses 3 through 5. And you want to write these down. Go back over them or get the books and the CDs, and they're in there. Mark 6, 3 through 5 says, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are these not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." And because they were offended with him, now he could do no mighty works in that place. Hear me very carefully. This stealthy offense that creeps into the church keeps the power of God from working in our lives. If that one verse isn't enough to keep us from being offended, I don't know what is. I need the power of God working in my life. I cannot afford to be offended. How many of you need the mountain moving power of God, tremendous working in your life? Then you cannot afford to accept these offenses that the enemy is planting in your spirit. So there's a progression that offense takes. And no one is exempt. This is the Word of God. This is the problem. We rationalize and justify that our thing is just different. You don't understand, Pastor Rhonda. This is just unique. It's exempt from this. No, every single offense, this is what happens. And we've watched it as pastors through the years. This is what occurs. Mark 4, 16 through 17. Actually, before we go too far with this, I need some help. So if I could just have front row people. Yeah, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Yes, please. Oh, really? Now all the front row can come up. Thank ya. Thank ya. Okay, can you hold that? Okay, so yeah, get under there. Everybody under here. See, there are, oh, yeah, you stand out there if you're offended. Okay, so this It's just an example of the church, the covering, the protection of God, the beautiful family of God. And this is what happens with any offense that comes in. Mark 6, 14 through 17 says, "And in the same way there was one sown on stony ground, and are those, when they hear the word, they receive, accept it, and welcome it with joy, and they have no real roots in themselves, so they endure for a little while. Then when persecution arises and trouble on account of the word, they immediately are offended." So hear what offended is broke down to. Displeased. So you say, I'm not offended. Are you displeased? Indignant? Resentful? And they stumble and fall away. Matthew 24, 10. "And then many will be offended and repelled." Do you have those people that just repel you? Many are offended and then they're repelled by you. "And will begin to distrust and desert." You're now repelled, you distrust, and you begin to desert. "And will stumble and fall away, and will betray one another." Now I find myself betraying them, villainizing them, making them into bad people in my mind. "And pursue one another with hatred." I hate what they did to me. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. It wasn't just. They're so wrong. It's not me. They're so wrong. And then Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirs up strife." Now let me define strife for you. Strife is conflict. Do you have conflict? Unresolved? Discord? Clash? Struggle? Friction. It's just a little bit of friction. And then James 3:14 through 16. It says, "Where there is strife, every evil thing is present." Have you ever had all hell breaking loose in your life? Where there is strife, simple friction, every evil thing is present. Now look at me. Look where I'm at. Look at where all those people that hurt me. Maybe actually it was just one person. It was just Mindy. Just Mindy. Mindy's just the one. I can't even look at her, but look at where I am in this. Look at where this puts me. How did I get out here? They're wrong. That's the progression of offense in your life. It puts you out. It's hurting you, not them. Look, they might have done wrong. They might have been bad, but they're inside enjoying the blessing and the covering of God, and I'm the one out. Offense is hurting us, not only physically, but it's hurting us spiritually. We must pay attention to offense in our lives. Thank you so much, you guys. That was Mark 24:10, Pastor. Proverbs 10:12, and James 3:14 through 16. Terrifying. So whenever all hell is breaking loose in my life, I look for where I got offended. I look for where I got offended. And I go back and I fix that because it's in my control. You might say, "It's just such a little thing, though. I mean, it's just friction. We're just talking about friction. It's such a little thing." Do you understand? The Word of God tells us, here's some passages. Ecclesiastes 10:1 tells us that a little fly in the ointment putrefies the entire thing. So you might think, oh, this is just an isolated scenario in my life. A dead fly in the ointment putrefies the whole thing. Hurting people hurt people. So you think you're isolated. You're not isolating it. It's coming out in every area of your life. life. You just don't see it. 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, don't you realize that this sin is like a little yeast and spreads through the whole dough? A little bit of yeast in the dough spreads through the whole thing. It's never isolated. Offense is never isolated, and it is hurting you physically and spiritually. And this is the mature Christians. So you say it's just a little tiny thing. So I have some buddy come up here. Who else? Sam. Yes, you two girls. Pastor Obi. Greg. Greg Austin. Okay, hold on. Let me tell you about these brownies. Greg, come on up here. These brownies that I made this morning. I was in a real rush because we have to get here for 7:15 a.m. prayer. So I was making these brownies for y'all. And I had to run out and get something from my car. Now, we have a really big dog. He's huge. And there was a little bit of poo. No, not really a little bit. He's a big dog. And my spoon fell in the poo. And I didn't really have time to clean it because I have to be on time. I'm the pastor. I can't be late for church. So I just whipped him up anyways. It might be in the frosting. I don't know. I'm not sure what part of it ended up with poo in it, but there's only a little bit of poo.
Don't know about it.
There's only a little bit of poo in there. You gonna have some, Sam? But it's only a little tiny bit. It's no big deal. It's not gonna affect the whole thing. That even smells good. They look good. You would never even know unless I was honest and told you the truth. Okay. There's just a little bit of poo in it. None of you want to eat it? Exactly. It doesn't matter if there's a little bit or not. You guys can take them out there. That's just a story. I didn't actually get up that early and make brownies this morning. It's just an example to show you a little bit. Are they inhaling them already? A little bit affects the whole thing. And it affects how others receive the whole thing. It's affecting us. It's hurting us. So what do we do? They're the ones that are wrong. It's not me. We need to not allow offense in. We need to, anytime an offense comes, and guess what? People love to share with you offense. How many of you had other people come to you with their offense? They love to share their offense with you. One of the things that I have taught myself to do is to say out loud to that person with that juicy morsel that's got them riled up, and they want you to respond with every emotion necessary to rile you up to, I will look them right in the face and say, I cannot afford to be offended. I say it right out loud. I stop it right before it even gets to plant inside my spirit. I cannot afford, whether it's true or not, I cannot afford. You just heard the results of offense in the church. And that's why people leave the churches by droves, because of offense. And we see what it does to our lives. We cannot afford to be offended. We need to stop offense before it even comes in. I need the power of God in my life. I need my health. I need my strength. I need my church. I need my family. I cannot afford to be offended. For any reason, we can't rationalize it, justify it, or excuse an offense away, because that's receiving it. And guess what? It's only hurting you. You're way out here and every evil thing is starting to come into your life. We need to arrest offense. And listen, please don't feel beat up this morning. I'm calling out something that's destroying you in your life. Let's get excited about it being called. I'm telling you, when God spoke this to my spirit, I just jumped up and down with joy because it was the answer to what I needed to stop all hell breaking loose in my life. So don't allow offense to come in. First of all, even if it's true and valid, the Word of God says in Galatians 2:20 that my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So if I'm not living, but Christ is living through me, you cannot offend a dead man. You cannot offend a dead man. It's not me. It's not me. It's Christ you're offending, not me. I have been crucified. It's no longer I. This is the Word of God. I'm coming to you with His Word. There's so much scripture in this morning. John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. And then one of my favorites of all, because as mature Christians, we think of sin as what everybody else is doing and that it isn't in our life and it isn't affecting us. Listen to this verse, Matthew 6:14-15, in the Amplified Version. It says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, their reckless and willful sins." That means it's valid. They recklessly sinned against you. They intentionally, willfully sinned against you. For if you forgive men when they intentionally and recklessly sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, nurturing your hurt and anger with the result that interferes with your relationship with God. This is the Amplified Version. Your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Because you see, the root of offense is unforgiveness. The root of offense is unforgiveness. And right here in God's Word says, when we don't forgive, we are nurturing our hurt and anger, and the result is that it interferes with your relationship with God. Sin separates us from God. And it goes on further to say that He will not forgive you. I want to be forgiven. Anybody perfect in here and never done anything wrong? No, I'm not raising my hand to that. I'm saying I need to be forgiven. I need to be forgiven. All of us need to be forgiven. So we must forgive even intentional, reckless, willful sins against us. Listen, it's not too hard. It's too hard not to do this because it's too hard to be powerless. It's too hard to have every evil thing present in my life. It's too hard to be outside of the covering of God. That's too hard. This brings joy and peace. Actually, I just found this scripture doing my study the other day. It was so exciting. Now, come on. My stuff needs to work today. My electronics. Okay. So I found this scripture the other day, and I was so excited. I mean, it's 2 years after I wrote the book. Maybe. It's Luke 7:23 in the Amplified Version. Hear this. This is the Word of God. Because you say, I just want to be happy. And how many of you here just want to be happy? I just want to be, and that's what God wants for you. God wants that for His children. He came that you would have joy, abundant life, peace. That's what He wants for you. So listen, this tells us how to be happy. Luke 7:23, Amplified Version, it says, "Blessed, happy with life, joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, apart from outward conditions, and to be envied." That's how we want to live, right? Here's how. "Is he who takes no offense in me." Don't be offended with God. That's a whole nother sermon. It's in the book. It's in the CD. Don't be offended with God. Right here in this scripture. is he who takes no offense in me and who is not hurt or resentful or annoyed or repelled, do these sound familiar, or made to stumble, whatever may occur. This is the word of God. He tells us how we get to have this great, happy life. It comes from never being offended with God and never being offended with anyone, no matter what may occur. And then Luke 6:37 simply says to acquit them, forgive and release, give up resentment, let it drop, and then you will be acquitted and forgiven and released. Isn't that exciting? I do want to stop right here and say, listen, in cases of abuse, forgiveness may look like not putting your hand in the mousetrap ever again. Hear me very, very clearly. I don't want you writing me hate mail and all that stuff later, because I'm telling you right now, in situations of abuse, forgiveness absolutely looks like I'm not going to put my hand in that mousetrap ever again. I'm going to separate myself from it and I will not do it again. I won't talk evil of it. I won't hold bitterness. I won't hold, because I get to be happy, because that's what God has for me. That word acquit there means to relieve from a wrong or a fault or a charge. That's what we're supposed to do, is we're supposed to acquit. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with one another, because sometimes we just have to bear with each other. Forgive one another if you have any grievance against any. Nope, no justification, no excusing, no rationalizing any offense. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. He forgave us while we were yet sinners. Before we changed, we didn't come to him. He forgave. He died on the cross while we were yet in our sins and didn't think a thing of them. You see, forgiveness is for us. It's for you. It sets you free. You no longer have a hook or an attachment. They no longer carry or hold any covering oversight over you. Forgiveness is for you, and it is so powerful, and it is so worth it. Forgive anyone and everyone that has ever done wrong to you, because guess what? At the end of the day, you get to walk in the favor of God, the power of God, the joy of the Lord. You get to walk happy and blessed. It's your reward on this earth. That's how God desires every single one of us to live. Ephesians 4:31-32. It goes on and on. There's so many more scriptures. I'm going to read a couple more, but not all of them. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of its infection in your body. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate. Remember, hurting people hurt people. The only people that hurt people are hurting people. If you're being hurt by someone, have compassion and pray for them. Actually do good to them, because they're a hurt. You might not have any clue. You might think their life is all put together and everything's perfect, but hurting people hurt people. So be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Proverbs 17:9. You will keep your friends if you forgive them, but if you will lose your friend if you keep talking about what they did wrong. How much of that is in the church? Because it's not me, they're just wrong. It's not me, it's them. But that puts you out here. And that's not where God wants your life. He wants you blessed and favored and powerful. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. You owe that nothing. Pay it nothing. Pay it no attention at all. That's how you handle a suffered wrong. That is a reckless, willful, intentional wrong to you. You handle it by paying it no attention at all, because it will cost you too much. It will cost you your health. It'll cost you your joy. It'll cost you the power of God. It will cost you too much. I cannot afford to be offended for any reason at any time. You know you are acting in a way that is contrary to the word of God. I don't care if you've been in church 40 or 50 years. Hear me. This is the word of God. If you are acting in offense, you are acting contrary to God's holy word. It is not God. It's not justified. It's not rationalized. It's not excused. It is the spirit of offense. It's the enemy of your soul. And all hell will end up breaking loose in your life. So you cannot afford to be offended. And my favorite response of all. Again, let's just turn to the word of God and watch what Jesus himself did. And this is in John 8:7. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, because this woman had been caught in actual adultery, and the punishment was she was to be stoned to death. That's what was supposed to, by law, happen. It was justified. It was excused. It was rationalized. It was supposed to happen. She really did it. It was reckless and willful. She was an adulteress. And he said to them, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Isn't that awesome? Now, we love that verse when we're talking about other people towards us. If you're without sin, you cast the first. How about to us when we're saying it about them? If you are without sin, I brought a couple stones. If any of you are without sin, feel free to be the first one to cast a stone. But there is no one without sin. That is how we as the church, as the children of God, as the body of Christ, are supposed to respond to offense. Very real. They're just wrong offense. That is how we respond to it. And then we get to be. And then the God of peace will be with us. And then we get to enjoy happiness, blessing, favor, the power of God in our lives. Oh, we've got to end. I'm so sorry. Let me read one more passage. Here's the hope. James 5:16. I told you there's not enough time. I'm sorry. Don't leave yet. Make sure you get the CDs so you can finish this. Confess to one another your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working, and that's what we need in our lives. And in order to get that, we have to get rid of offenses. So this morning, I just want to ask you, I'm not even going to have you come up front for prayer for that. I just want you in your seat. Whatever offense is in your spirit right now, whatever offense has been hindering you, whatever has been holding you back, keeping you from the power of God and God's best, I want you to acquit them. I want you just to let it go. And the next time the enemy tries to bring it up to you, I want you to say out loud back to him, I cannot afford to be offended. I cannot afford to be offended. And guess what? Tomorrow, there's going to be a new opportunity for offense. And when that one comes up in your spirit and all the emotions necessary to support it show up, I want you to shout out loud back at it. I cannot afford to be offended. I want you to let it go and forgive and walk in the joy that God has. That is how today I can still love and I still have joy and I can come into church and I can worship Jesus. And when any of those thoughts come in, I just say, I can't afford. I can't afford you. I can't afford you. It'll cost me too much. So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to let go of some stuff in this place. And we're going to really let it go. And when it tries to come up, we're going to let it go again and let it go again and let it go again. And you may have to let it go every day for the rest of your life, but keep letting it go. So let's just pray right now in the name of Jesus. Any offense, unforgiveness that we have held on to, Father, we're asking you to give us the strength to let it go right now. And to restore unto us a spiritual state of heart and mind and make tremendous power available. We thank you, Lord, for your freedom. That when you've set us free, we are free indeed. So right now I speak that they are free and free indeed from any and all offense that is in their hearts right now or that will come up in the next few moments or the next few days or for the rest of the time, that we will remain unoffended until the day of Jesus Christ and follow your word, Lord. Now we send your word to do what it is sent to do and to accomplish it. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you for joy. Thank you for peace. Let it just flood in. Let the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit flood in right now with joy and peace. And we thank you for it, Father, in your precious name. Amen. While your heads are still bowed and your eyes are closed, please no moving around. I want to give you opportunity. If you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, or maybe you've just been so far away from him and you want today to return to him or to make him your Lord. He will be the best friend that you have ever had. If you want him in your life today, I just want you to raise your hand up real quickly. Want to give opportunity. Thank you for that hand. Thank you so much. Anybody else in this place want to give your life over to a good, good father, the best friend that you will ever have? Just raise your hand real quickly. We're going to count down. 5, 4, 3, I see your hand, thank you. 2, 1. Go ahead and stand to your feet, everyone in this place. Mindy is up here at the front. She is here to lead you to the Lord, to pray with you, to get you a Bible, to equip you, to set you on your way. So if you raised your hand for salvation, I just want, as we dismiss, you to come forward. Maybe ask the person next to you, will you go with me? Or ask the person next to you, if you raised your hand, I'll go with you. Bring them up. Make sure that they are equipped for success. And today, you leave this place different than you came in. You leave this place free of that thing. It might have been holding you back for years. It's no longer affecting you any longer. It's gone in Jesus' name. Gone in Jesus' name. Gone in Jesus' name. So go and be free and remain free as children of God. I love you so much. Be blessed. Remember, if you raised your hand for salvation, you can come right forward, come right up here with Mindy. Thank you. Yep, if you raised your hand for salvation, make your way right to the front. We want to make sure you're equipped. Don't forget the CDs and DVDs.